This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free of the chains holding me.
Is anybody out there hearing me? Send me free.
Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us. And how are you doing? We love to hear from you. So if you're a listener who have been listening to our shows, love to hear from you. Love reading your emails. It shows us that we're reaching people, and generally we do get pretty positive feedback. We talk openly on this broadcast about a lot of issues that often get avoided Sunday morning. We talk a lot about sexual issues and porn addiction in the church, with surveys showing that 70% of Christian men and now 40% of Christian women viewing pornography at some level, including around a third of pastors. And we have people from really all over the globe who we work with, who come to us for help. Men, women, plenty of marriages. This plague of this epidemic, I will use that word, of sexual sin in the church is covering and saturating so many different lives, and it's so heartbreaking to see news article after news article of a leader or a pastor, a ministry leader, who is exposed or arrested for illegal pornography or an affair or sexual abuse or even rape. It is horrible to see the continual carnage of lives being destroyed with this stuff. So I can't continue to challenge and encourage you enough. Speak out openly. Don't sweep these issues under the rug. On Sunday morning, we need to equip people and talk openly about sexual issues and sexual sin and masturbation and the issues that people are struggling with. And I did myself for many years, from my teen years well into my 30s. I was binging on porn and masturbation at least once a day. And my background included sex with prostitutes, promiscuity, picking up gonorrhea after a one-night stand. As a single man, I committed adultery with a married mother of three. I committed adultery after I got married to my current wife in 1991. It was train wrecking my life. And if I had not had an amazing encounter with God in 1999 where he broke me free, I dread to think of where I would be today. I would probably have lost my marriage because my heart was going hard, numb and cold. And when you play with sin long enough and it gets a grip on your heart, your heart starts dying. And that was the frightening thing to me, is my heart started going numb. And toward the end of that time, it would be before when I would binge on porn, I'd always have this days-long shame hangover. Well, those stopped going away, and I started feeling nothing. Nothing. Not the shame, not guilt, not conviction, nothing. And that terrified me because I knew I was losing my heart. And if I kept going, there would be a big chance I would do something stupid with a prostitute again, or maybe an affair or whatever, and lose everything, lose my marriage and family, and this will destroy your life. Do not play games with this stuff. Do not play games with sin. And when you go to church and you don't hear about these things consistently or often, you're not challenged, what happens is we kind of zone out and think, well, maybe it's either we think it's not a big deal or we think I'm the only one. And I surely had those thoughts running through my mind that I must be the only one. I must be a Christian pervert or something, because heck, nobody from the pulpit's talking about porn addiction or masturbation or lust or all the things I'm struggling with. But when you see the numbers are so big, it's horrible to think that many people you're sitting next to from teen, well, actually 8, 9, and 10, all the way up into their 70s and even up to 80 are struggling with this stuff at every single level of the church. And we cannot continue to do nothing. And that's what happens in too many situations. We're going to do our verse-by-verse Bible study, and maybe in a couple years we're going to hit on a topic of sex. You really think that's going to line up with Scripture? Where in 1 Corinthians 5, Paul jumped all over the Corinthians church about not dealing with the sexual sin of one man. He'd have been freaking out and tearing his robe if he came back today. He'd be like, what are you doing? We have to face these things and help people break out of this bondage. And then look at Revelation 2 and 3. Actually, both churches Jesus confronted in Revelation 2, Pergamum and Thyatira. He got in their face about ignoring the sexual issues right in their midst. And there were some pretty severe warnings in there. This is what we need to hear. We need to hear some really tough warnings today from our Sunday morning services that you dare not play with this stuff. And then there are several warnings throughout the New Testament for the sexually immoral will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not going to go jumping into a deep waters of a theological pool here about salvation, losing it or not, but do you really want to play games with God? Do you really want to say, hey, maybe in 4 or 5 years or whenever, maybe then I'll deal with this sin, but for now I'm going to be comfortable looking at porn once a week or once a month or whatever. Do you really want to play spiritual Russian roulette? Do not do that, because what happens is we start letting the enemy have a grip on our heart. There is no spiritually neutral ground here. There's no Switzerland in the spiritual arena. So you're either moving toward God hard, or you're in the lukewarm territory, or your heart's going cold and hard. This is so very dangerous. But we don't do urgency and danger Sunday morning. We want to begin our messages with an entertaining story to kind of warm people up. And we don't want to really step on their toes too hard. And then we want to finish up with 3 gentle application points. But when I read Scripture, when I read John the Baptist, man, that dude be kicked out of most churches today in the modern church. I mean, he went right after he cut right through to the chase, and that's what we need to start doing, cutting right through the chase. That a lot of people are in bondage right now, and we're supposed to be a part of Jesus' work to set captives free, not sit on our butts and watch the show as so many lives are destroyed. And that is the challenge to each one of you. Are you going to be a part of God's work to set captives free? And if you're in bondage, are you going to get help, or are you going to sit there and wallow in this crap and let it own you and destroy your life, destroy your marriage, destroy your family? We have to have a sense of urgency that lives are being destroyed in our very midst every single day in our churches. And what you see in these news articles where somebody's exposed for sexual sin, all of a sudden, everybody in the church is just shocked and stunned because this guy they thought was, you know, walked on water, was exposed for whatever, an affair, sex with prostitute, or even child pornography. And that's what happens when you play ostrich and you shove your head down the sand. And there's no fire because we don't have a prayer life, and prayer meetings have been missing in action in the church for decades now. We should be running 7 days, 7 days a week, we should be running prayer meetings. That's where the fire comes from, and that's also where the conviction comes from, because when I'm face-to-face with God, he spotlights places in my heart that can often be very, I don't like. Sometimes he'll show me that my heart is crusty and getting a little hard, and I need a touch from him, or sometimes he might show me something that I need to release or let go of. But this is the thing, is do you really want God, and do you really go hard after him? And I think I used to think, well, if I start getting really close to God, eventually he's going to ask me to do something I don't want to do. You know, the big O, obedience. And walking with him, closely with him, sure, that's a part of it, because He's God and we're not. We're just these little baby vapors here, just here for a few years, and then boom, we're gone. Prayer, my friends, prayer, prayer, prayer. Light up your prayer life. If you want fire, if you want Holy Spirit's strength, if you want his wisdom and understanding and discernment, you got to be on your knees every single day. Shoot for an hour every single day. What's your thought about all that, daughter?
I was just thinking we should have that on in church, what you just said, played in a video, because that was, powerful, what you just said. It was right on the mark, and challenging people, I feel like, is missing from the church. And if you're not getting challenged, you don't make progress. Mm. So that was great what you just said.
Yeah, and I want to be challenged, too. It's not like I want to be blasted, but I want my comfort zone challenged. I want my flesh punctured. I need this. I think we all need this. I think you said it well.
Well, it's biblical, isn't it? You have to kill your flesh every single day.
Mm.
So that's biblical, everything that you just said.
So we're going to talk about revival American style, and we're going to talk about revival biblical style. And I did a little search recently, and I was just curious. I searched for revival conferences. I wanted to see what people's approach were. So I'm going to read you, this is from a couple websites, on a revival conference some people are having. So this is one conference being held this year. God's people from all over the U.S. are gathering to stand for the gospel of Jesus in this final hour of time. Join Pastor, and then his name, as he ministers the word with demonstrations of the miraculous power of God. Also ministering will be four more names, so there's going to be five speakers. These powerful days will be days of encounter with the Spirit of God. Together we will experience intense worship, undiluted word, and explosive revelation. You'll be inspired, renewed, and empowered to fulfill your calling. And maybe you're thinking, well, what's wrong with that? Go read Jonah chapter 3. And the most powerful spiritual awakening, if not the most powerful spiritual awakening in all of history. They had no speakers. All they did was cry out to God for mercy. We're back to prayer again, and they confess their sins. Why is it we have to line up a bunch of speakers to get people to come to a revival conference when all we need to do is light up the prayer meetings? Here's another. Get ready for a historic gathering at the very first revival conference. This launches at blank blank. This free and open event is a divine appointment for anyone hungry for more of God. It's especially meaningful for those who have joined the mission of blank blank. Come be ignited by powerful voices, including five speakers again, as they deliver prophetic revelation, Holy Spirit power, and bold truth for the days we're living in. Every night is designed to fuel your purpose, to deepen your spiritual discernment, and equip you to stand strong in a shaking world. So this is another situation where you've got a lineup of speakers, and the people are sitting there on their butts listening. And it's not there's anything wrong with this. Don't get me wrong, but revival almost becomes a buzzword here in the church. Like, we're going to have revival today. They didn't pray for revival in Jonah. They didn't have any pastors, churches, Bibles, or anything. They didn't say, God, give us revival. They said, God, we're in deep trouble. We need you. We're crying out to you for mercy. And they were hitting their knees in prayer. And these are a bunch of people, from what it really looks like, where most of them are unbelievers. They didn't have Pastor so-and-so saying, hey, this is 10 steps to revival here. There was no revival conference in the city of Nineveh. This is what boggles my mind. How come we got so far off from how powerful prayer is and confession of sin? You put those two together, it's like a spiritual nuclear bomb. And then what I just read, it says, this is the moment you've been praying for. And in both of those revival websites I just mentioned, neither one of them mentioned prayer. Neither one of them mentioned, we're going to spend time in prayer, even weeping before God. And if you read through the Old Testament and the New Testament, Apostle Paul spent a lot of time in tears. Where is our heart? 1 Corinthians 5, when Paul confronted the church of Corinth about the sexual sin of one man, he said, "You are arrogant and you do not mourn." So, some special speaker, do you really see many of these guys mourning over sin and brokenhearted? Really, be honest. Even weeping with tears. I remember when Jesus wept after he entered Jerusalem. And he said he wept over the city. If you only had known the day of your visitation, but now it is hid from you. You've missed the mark. Some of you know about the Hebrides Revival. I've written about this in my Second Road Christian book. It's an incredible movement of God that took place in 1950 in the Hebrides Islands off of the west coast of Scotland. And what triggered the whole thing and kept it going for 2 years was ongoing prayer meetings. And Peggy Smith was an 84-year-old woman, but she was an incredible prayer warrior. She was basically blind. Her sister Christine was 82, riddled with arthritis. And I'm going to read a quote she said to one of the pastors there, because they had been alarmed that youth were leaving the church in droves. And Peggy said, after she received a vision from God, she sent for this pastor, and she said, "I'm sure, Mr. McSee, that you're longing to see God work. What about calling your office bearers together and suggest to them that you spent 2 nights a week waiting upon God in prayer? You've tried mission. You've tried special evangelists. Mr. McSee, have you tried God? We try revival conferences. We try special guest speakers. We try the big names, but have we really tried God? We don't need a conference with a lineup of speakers. We need people on their knees crying out to mercy every single weekend in every single church. That's what we need, and that's what will provide a spiritual awakening." And the thing that so what they did in the Brighties Islands is after she confronted, Peggy Smith confronted this pastor, from Tuesdays and Fridays, they did all-night prayer meetings from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. And that's what set off one of the most incredible spiritual awakenings ever that I've ever read about. And you can Google Hebrides Revival, and you can learn about that. And there's also a Hebrides Revival Conference in Scotland coming up. I ran into that when I was Googling this. I thought, well, surely they know the history. They know that prayer meetings are going on all the time in the Hebrides Islands. Surely they know that about Peggy Smith and Christine, and they were the generals of that movement, the two prayer warriors. And I looked and I couldn't believe it. And this is from the Hebrides Revival Conference that will be held. They're having four speakers. And this is from their website. The conference will have three main sessions, Friday, Saturday, and Saturday night. In these main sessions, there will be two teaching sessions with a break in between with worship, ministry, and more. We then look forward to gathering on Sunday for a morning and evening service, where we have a main session in the morning followed by a praise and thanksgiving service in the evening. Not one word of prayer, but a lineup of speakers. I wanted to throw up. And what do you think Peggy Smith would have said? She said the exact same thing she said to that Pastor McSee 75 years ago. Have you tried God? You've tried special evangelists. You've tried special speakers. You've tried paid praise and worship services. Have you tried God? Have you spent time on your knees? What should we be doing, Becca?
Like you said, it's... why do we need so many big names to lead us to get closer to God? That's not biblical, and that's not how you get closer to God, is by watching someone just talk. And yeah, of course, they might have good messages, and I'm not saying that's not good or important, but if they're labeling it as these revivals, you can't see revival like that in the Bible. So trying a different method, like you said, is having more prayer meetings during those times. And when you do your conferences, that's what you do. And that's when we can see the people are really touched by, is when they're able to pray with each other and they're able to talk with one another. And you can just see how important and how much they needed that. And so I think everyone could benefit from that, not just sitting and staring at someone talking mm-hmm. about let's do a revival and just worship, which worship is good. Not saying it's not, can't lead to revival, but I feel like that's what these conferences will try to bring people in, is by just worship. And we're going to sing some fun songs that you know and you probably love, but that's not where like the meat is, I don't think.
So what you're probably talking about with our conferences is I'll have several breakouts where I have people share what they're going through and then pray for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And at the very end, I bring everybody who's there at the conference for prayer and have everybody pray together as a group. And I always love those times.
Mm. And you can tell that people are shocked to hear that first, but then once they start getting into it, I think they love it just as much. Mm. And some pastors will come back to you and be like, I need to do that on Sunday, because that's what it's about, I think.
Well, yeah, early church was devoted to the right speaker, the praise and worship band, and YouTube videos, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Or was it teaching, fellowship, and prayer?
Right. Yeah, you can just see how much we've twisted church. Not twisted, but we've changed church. And we have the biggest buildings, the most amount of people going to church, but yet we need the most revival these days.
Well, when you bring that subject up, recently it came out that the U.S. now crossed the $37 trillion deficit amount, so $37 trillion. And when I saw that, what came to my mind was that huge gigantic deficit is a reflection of our huge, gigantic moral deficit, our moral bankruptcy. When you're morally bankrupt, or when you're bankrupt, period, do you not get urgent? Like, hey, we got to cut our debt here. We got to do something because the bank's going to call our note or something's going to happen serious pretty soon?
You would hope so. But so far, nothing, I don't think, has changed much, unfortunately. And I liked how you labeled it as the American revival or the American style revival, because that's what we're known, or that's what we do, and that's just what we're comfortable with.
So we just got just a minute here, and I'm going to finish out with reading to you Jonah from Jonah 3. This is after Jonah got puked out on the beach from the fish, when Jonah said, I don't want to go talk to the Assyrians. And after Jonah has gone through the city and said, in 40 days, you're done. He didn't say God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. He warned them and said, in 40 days, you are done. And this is the result from Jonah 3. Then the people of Nineveh believed in God. Remember, we're talking unbelievers here. We're not talking about a bunch of churches. And they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. And when the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. He issued a proclamation, and it said, in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water, but both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth, and let them call on God earnestly, crying out to him, that each may turn from his wicked way. So obviously confrontation of sin is a big part of this. And from the violence which is in his hands. They were violent cultures. That sounds familiar? We're setting records with all the mass shootings. I think we're averaging almost two a day now. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we will not perish. And when God saw their deeds, they turned from their wickedness, then he relented concerning the calamity, and he did not do it. This is what we need, my friends, crying out to God, confession of sin. Thank you for joining me. We'll see you next time.
Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.